Buenas and half a day to our listeners on Guam and in the CNMI. It's now time for Total Health right here on Joy FM Radio, where your questions get answered by health professionals. If you have any health-related questions, we would love to hear from you. Call your questions and comments in at 472-1111 or text or WhatsApp 686-9999. If you're in the CNMI, please call 323-1113. Welcome, everybody, to Total Health.
Hello, everyone. Hello. I'm excited to be here one more time. Today, we have a very interesting topic. And again, we have Dr. Ana Orsales, our infectious disease doctor and internal medicine physician. Hi, Ana.
Hello, Elena.
I am so excited that you're here. And, you know, we have more topics coming because we would like to know more about infectious diseases, especially living in a tropical island, surrounded by countries that carry, different insects that can spread, infections, also bacteria. I just returned from Papua New Guinea, where I was a part of a mega clinic that we treated close to 12,000 patients, provided services for 20,000 patients in Papua New Guinea. And, you know, the people there, they really, really struggle with typhus, with typhoid, malaria, dengue, like all type of diseases. You mentioned it, leprosy. Mm-hmm. And, you know, Papua New Guinea is not far away from us. Right. And it is like in the same, the same zone geographically. Mm-hmm. And so it is important for us to be more aware of what and how we can prevent ourselves from certain conditions. Well, the topic today is about HIV and AIDS. Maybe some of you say, oh, that doesn't concern me. We don't have as many probably people on Guam that might have HIV. I'm not trying to be alarming about that, but of course, HIV still exists. Mm-hmm. It might not be, the hot topic like COVID, for example. Mm-hmm. But I remember the time when many nurses were telling me that when HIV came and they had to take care of those patients, they experienced the same thing as we experienced with COVID. They didn't know how to treat it. We didn't know how to treat it. Sure. Nowadays, we have some idea about COVID. We have some idea about HIV. But HIV problem is not gone.
Yes. No, it's not at all.
It's not at all.
Not at all. It continues to persist. I think worldwide about 39, 40 million people are infected. About a third of that are children, mostly in Africa. So, and here in the States, the last few years, in certain areas, there have been some increase in diagnoses of HIV.
Right. I have a very, old statistics from 2018 about the United States. It's like 700,000, HIV. So it's not a small number. Mm-hmm. And we know that this disease has claimed the life of many. Mm-hmm. Many of them have contracted it in an innocent way. Right. We cannot only blame the sexually transmitted way. Mm-hmm. Many children had suffered, as you mentioned, in Africa. And we do have it in Guam.
Yes.
We are not immune to HIV.
Right. I think there was an article in the news last year that they mentioned, the public health officials actually gave us some numbers where I think since 1985, we've had about 286 diagnosed cases on Guam, and about 140 of those live here. The rest have moved off island. So it's a significant number.
It is
cases,
a significant number of cases, in comparison to our small island. Mm-hmm. And from what I'm understanding, it's like one of six people don't know they have it.
Yes.
And so you might have it and you might not know about it. And I know that Guam's government really put a big initiative, people to be tested for it. Mm-hmm. I remember the time that we were tested just once in life. Mm-hmm. You know, it was kind of a once in life, you know, the insurance will pay for you. I don't know what how the situation is today.
Right.
But I do have quite a lot of patients that will come and say, I just want you to test me for everything.
Mm-hmm.
I want to make sure I don't have any of those diseases that can be passed in that, you know, in a sexually transmitted way. And so I have to face that quite often. And I'm sure you face it more often than me.
Right. And you know, speaking of testing, they do recommend that you should at least have it in your lifetime. So anywhere, I think, from 16 to 64, if I'm not mistaken. And if you are at continued risk of contracting the disease, then they want to actually recommend you to be checked more frequently.
Right, right. It is important to be aware because if you don't treat it,
you could die from disease.
You can die from mm-hmm. it. And, mm-hmm. You know, if you live long enough after you have contracted it without treatment, you might live like 9-10 years, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Oh, shorter?
Shorter. When there are three stages of HIV. So you have the acute phase, which can come up anywhere from 2 to 4 weeks after you get exposed. And then you have your stage two, which is more of the chronic phase where virus is still replicating, but it may not necessarily show in the body. And then stage three is the most severe stage, and that's what we know as AIDS. That's the acquired immunodeficiency syndrome. That's where you see a lot more of the serious infections, like really bad pneumonias, TB, cancer also occurs, and recurrent infections, basically.
So I think, you know, from all the conditions and all the viruses, I'm not undermining Ebola and other viruses, but HIV is one that really targets your immune system.
Mm-hmm.
And the problem is not only targets the immune system, it just, you know, it's like a sprouting ground mm-hmm. for so many other viruses, bacteria, and fungus.
Right.
And yeah, and everything. And it's like one of the hardest thing to treat. Luckily, we can somehow relax nowadays, mm-hmm. knowing that we have treatments available for that.
Correct.
But I feel like there is so much I need to ask you about it, but let's start it in order.
Okay.
So we are talking about HIV, and mm-hmm. we kind of almost everybody knows what mm-hmm. HIV stands for. But tell us more about HIV. Tell us, like, how did it was discovered, and how did we as humans end up having a virus as HIV?
Right. So historically, the first recorded, I guess, blood sample came from 1959 from a man in Kinshasa, which now is the Democratic Republic of Congo. And when they kind of made a family tree of this virus, it showed that there was some similarity with a virus that can be found in a subspecies of monkeys. And that at some point, these viruses jumped from monkeys to humans, probably through contact with blood, whether or not, you know, some people were eating the chimpanzees. And then it was progressively worsened because of sex slave trade and just sexual transmission for the most part.
Well, I'm impressed you say that because, you know, there's so many myths about mm-hmm. HIV and, mm-hmm. you know, I have read all that information, but it hasn't been verified.
Mm-hmm.
And we can only speculate for that mm-hmm. if the blood was even transfused, you know, mm-hmm. through hunting, like when people lose blood. And
right.
I don't know. But I have read about the mm-hmm. monkeys, and so you're confirming that. that's the information we have today. But like from that mistake or whatever mm-hmm. happened,
mm-hmm.
It really spread all around the world.
Correct.
Like from Congo.
Mm-hmm.
Nowadays, we have it in Guam. We mm-hmm. have it in everywhere.
Correct.
There is no place that hasn't been affected by HIV.
Correct.
Is
yes.
there a country with no HIV?
Not that I know of. No. I think everyone's been touched by HIV at one point or another in their lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So HIV is a human Mm-hmm. Immunodeficiency virus.
Correct.
And so it has a very interesting name. It mm-hmm. just it implies that it somehow attacks your immune system that the immune Correct. System cannot fight it anymore.
Mm-hmm. So there is a specific cell in our body called CD4 cells. These are the cells that help fight off infection. And what happens is the virus specifically targets that, and the higher your viral numbers are, that's what we call viral load, then the less CD4 cells you have. And as it continues to drop down, then your risk for certain infections go up. Like, for example, you know, if it drops below 200, then you are at risk for a specific type of pneumonia called PJP. That's what our acronym is for that. And that's actually how it got discovered in the States in the 80s. They found out that there was a cluster of cases that of people having like this pneumonias that we haven't seen
in pneumocystis,
pneumocystis carinii, and Kaposi's sarcoma. Yeah. Those are
so they've discovered those, and they found that there is a trend in mm-hmm. all that, and mm-hmm. after that they isolated the virus,
Correct.
I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. And so you said about CD4, and you know, most of us don't know what CD4. We just assume it's a cell. It's mm-hmm. what type of a cell is it?
It's called a helper T cell. So there's a lot of different cells. There are T cells, B cells. T cells are the specific ones in your body that really get your immune system up and running, so that you can fight off infections.
Right. So if you destroy in humans, mm-hmm. you know, the mechanism that fights infections, then mm-hmm. it means it triggers all type of infections.
Correct. That's what they call opportunistic infections. And patients with HIV or AIDS, even, you know, exposure to tuberculosis, that can reactivate and make it, you know, just run rampant in the body. That's one reason why patients with HIV, when they've been exposed, even though they don't have active disease, we treat them prophylactically to keep it from the virus from waking up, or the bacteria from waking up.
So are you suppressing the immune system, or you're suppressing the virus when it comes to treatment?
For treatment, you are suppressing the virus to keep it from replicating, because the lower the viral number comes, like let's say less than 200, that's already considered undetectable. And if it is undetectable, it's also untransmissible. So
it's not transmissible.
It's not, yeah, it's very, very, it's less likely that you will get, you know, that's why they call it U equals U. So undetectable is untransmittable.
So this means that there is no chance that you may get HIV from somebody
Correct.
That has HIV, but it has undetectable
viral
load.
Yeah.
Okay, you know, we have so many unknown things. We can only speculate. Mm-hmm. Of course, there are a lot of rumors, and we don't know what's true or not. Mm-hmm. We read Google, mm-hmm. and, you know, we get informed sometimes from some websites that might not be true. But so is HIV really transmissible only through sexual contact, or are there other ways of, you know, contracting it? Well, that's an important question, and I think I'm going to ask it again.
Life to be lived. We hope you're living it. There's hope to be shared. We hope you're sharing it. There's a message to hear. We hope you're listening. We believe in the better day to come, the hope that burns brilliant in the fuel of good news, and a message that brings life and hope to your new day. It's yours. It's here. And people like you have been making it possible for a long time. We walk with you. You can walk with us. Listener supported. Joy FM.
To Joe Esmossi, and thanks for listening to Total Health on Joy FM. We want to hear from you. Call in with your health-related questions at 472-1111. In Guam or in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, back to the show.
Here we are again. We're continuing our interesting topic about HIV and AIDS. And I have in the studio Dr. Ana Orsales, and we are trying to learn everything about HIV because there's so much, you know, mythology surrounding HIV, mm-hmm. how it is really spread, and was it, you know, man-made, and was it programmed, and we have heard all type of stories, so we would like to know the truth, Ana, and thank you so much for giving us a little bit more light on that topic. So how do we contract HIV? Is it only sexually transmitted? Is it you know, also from a mother to a child, or are there other ways of contracting it?
Right. One of the most common ways is when you have direct contact with infected blood. So sharing needles for those who practice IV drug use. You mentioned mother-to-child transmission, even through breast milk as well. Back in the 80s, before they screened blood donations, they had some patients unfortunately contracted HIV that way also. But, you know, those are the main ways that you actually contract it, is contact with these infected bodily fluids. And so not all body fluids are considered infectious. So, for example, you know, saliva is not considered infectious. So, you know, if you like kiss someone on the cheek, or you can't transmit it that way. There's still a stigma attached to HIV, where, you know, people don't want to touch a patient with HIV for fear of contracting the disease. But, you know, you cannot get it through just casual contact, actually. So you're still able to, you know, live abundantly with your family members and your friends, and not get worried about being infected.
Right. I also have read stories that you can contract it from the same plate, if you eat the same plate with somebody else, but that doesn't seem to be true.
No, or like sitting on the toilet, you know.
On the toilet, right. I don't know what's the life of the HIV outside of the body, but I don't think it's long, because it needs a cell to live, right?
Correct, it needs a cell. But, you know, I've unfortunately had some patients whose, you know, family members kind of just basically ostracized them because of the disease, and, you know, wouldn't want to be in the same room with them, or wouldn't let them use, like you said, plates or, you know, cups or things like that. And it can be quite devastating to their loved one with the disease, I think, because it can be isolating.
Right. I honestly do not want to ostracize. Actually, that's why that's the purpose of our show today, because we would like to give hope to our patients that have HIV, or the relatives that know somebody within their circle that has HIV. And we would not like to ostracize by all means. We all suffer from the biggest virus, which is sin, and we are all sinners, and nobody is better than the other, and we all have done all type of mistakes, and it's not that God has really punished us if we have HIV. Correct. And we would like to bring more awareness, and we would like you to know that there is hope in HIV.
Correct.
Yeah, there was a time that, you know, patients would die from that, and we didn't know how to treat it. And I'm sure we have done a lot of trials and errors, just like we did with COVID. Mm-hmm. We didn't know much and what's the right way to go about it. But nowadays, that's not a new thing. Mm-hmm. And I know that medications are available. You'll tell us more about it.
Correct.
And they're available all around the world. Mm-hmm. So people do have some hope. Before I move to that, I wanted to ask you, so if a mother has an HIV, does she always pass the HIV to the child, or there are some, you know, deliveries without the virus?
No. So the earlier the mother gets on treatment, the less likely she would pass it to her child, which is why when you go do your prenatal screenings, that's one of the tests that they do. In addition, they can also give the child post-exposure kind of prophylaxis to further decrease that risk. But really, it's dependent on whether the mother's disease is controlled or not.
Okay, so if I don't know, and I, you know, and I have a baby, and I already have HIV, is the baby gonna get it 100%?
Not 100%, but it's very likely that the baby will have congenital HIV, and I unfortunately have seen that as well.
Right. You know, I'm very glad we're bringing that, because antenatal appointments are there for a reason, and we sometimes think, oh, I'm healthy, I don't really need to go to the doctor, I would just spend money going to the doctor. But all those testings actually can alert us earlier, and that we can take measures and we can save lives. Because I'm very pleased that treatment is available even in Africa. I'm glad that pharmaceutical companies do not keep the prices so high in certain places, you know, just to make it available as a treatment. And that even children take it, even babies take treatment, right?
Correct, yes.
Anna, tell us more about, you know, the whole way how medications were invented and what medications, you know, people can benefit from if they have HIV.
Correct. So kind of going back, you mentioned how the disease when you were diagnosed with is basically like a death sentence, because we didn't have any of these new medications available. There are different classes of medications that target specific like pathways in the virus's life cycle. And many of these medications are composed of 2 to 3 drugs in one pill. In the past, they used to take like a handful of pills.
I remember 18 pills I used to give to the patient.
Yes, yes. And now it's, you know, just a one pill, once a day regimen.
Oh, wow.
With very few side effects and, you know, easily taken. There is an injectable drug that they can take anywhere from, you know, every month or every 2 months.
Is it IV or it's muscular?
It's muscular, yeah.
So once a month, correct, they can have an antiviral,
antivirals, correct.
Okay.
Yes. But yeah, the medication, there is really no reason that for a patient with HIV to not live a long and, you know, abundant life as if, you know, the same person who doesn't have HIV. We've had patients like, you know, was it Magic Johnson or something, that one of the famous NBA stars who's had it since the 80s and is doing quite well. So the important thing is really to get tested, especially if you think that you may have been exposed to HIV. You can give what we call post-exposure prophylaxis. So let's say, you know, you're working, you're a nurse, so you work in the OR, you get stuck with a needle, and there is a concern that the patient is HIV, then we start you on prophylactic medications within the 72 hours after that, and that has an increased protection from the virus being transmissible. So there are also medications called pre-exposure prophylaxis, and that has about 99% chance of preventing transmission.
Who would take a pre-exposure? Is it a medical person or is it somebody that would have a sexual contact with
usually those
person with HIV?
Right, those who it's the ones who do sexual contact with another person with HIV.
So if the load is still high, there is a chance of transmission, correct?
Correct, yes.
With medication or without medication?
Pre-exposure. Even if, right. As long as that viral load is below 200, that's what we consider untransmissible. But above that, then your chances of being infected is a lot higher.
Right. And so I know that we recommend to our patients to always use mm-hmm. condom use, mm-hmm. you know, mm-hmm. unless it's below 200, but we still recommend
correct.
It. Correct.
Yes.
So can the virus be passed through a condom, or it can be? Because this is a very big question.
Correct.
I hope.
Right. No. So it is protective anywhere from 90 to 94%. I think it is like 94% in men and the condom use, and I think 90% in women. One of those two
yeah.
numbers, yeah. But so, I mean, it's not 100%, but it's a lot better. Like, you decrease your chances by about, like, what, 20-something times less likely to get the disease.
How sooner somebody might have undetectable, you know, viral load? Like, say somebody has very high, like mm-hmm. almost 100%. I don't mm-hmm. know how to measure it, but like mm-hmm. how soon when you start the medication you can claim that? I don't know.
Oh, within the month. Like, I've seen, you know, when we start somebody on treatment, we do a test right away within a month to see how they're responding. And some of them are, you know, dropped down to, it depends on how high they start, you know, or if they're up in the millions, then it'll drop down a little bit, maybe down to like the tens of thousands. But I have seen patients be undetectable right away within the first month of treatment.
That's wonderful. When we say 200, it's 200,000? Or it's 200? Like when we say undetectable.
Undetectable, 200 cells.
Oh, cells, yes, 200 cells.
Yeah.
Wow, that's incredible. So, I mean, I would encourage anybody that knows or is suspecting mm-hmm. to be tested for that, since we have those incredible medications nowadays, mm-hmm. reduced from so many mm-hmm. to one pill a day.
Correct.
How do you choose what type of a treatment to give to patients?
Right. It depends on what virus they have. For the most part, people will have what they call wild-type virus, which means that it's sensitive to every medication out there. But just in case, we do do a blood test to see what medications would be best to use on the individual. Some patients also carry a gene that will make it, they'll have an allergic reaction with one of the other medications, so we can't use that. So, yeah, you look at the patient, you look at their, you know, what other factors affect them, like their time with their work, or, you know, their access to food, or even access to the medications, because unfortunately, some of the insurances won't cover certain medications. But there are a lot of help out there, especially for those who may have difficulty getting the meds. There are some programs that will give it to them for free.
That's fantastic. And are there patients that will require more than one type of medication, like two, for example, or three?
Right. There are, especially those that have developed resistance. And these are usually patients who have had HIV in a while and would not be compliant in taking their medications. So then the virus becomes resistant.
So the virus also can become resistant. Mm-hmm. That's so interesting, Anna. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I would like to know even more, and we will continue after the short break.
Thank you, Dr. Salas, and thank you, Elena. You know, we've only got we're about halfway through the show today. So if you have a question and you want to call it in, and you're on Guam, you can call us at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111. In the CNMI, go ahead and give us a call at 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113. You can also send us a message via text or WhatsApp at 671-686-9999. That's 671-686-9999. It's free from the CNMI. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this short break.
Someone listening right now discovered encouragement.
Someone heard something they've decided to share with a friend.
Someone now believes there might just be something worth living for.
Someone just realized that their day goes better when they listen here.
So many someones. Someone has decided they will help us for the first time.
Maybe, just maybe, that someone is you.
For each and every someone, thank you.
Joy FM.
Welcome back. You're listening to Total Health on Joy FM. Call in with your health-related questions to 472-1111 in Guam. If you live in the CNMI, we want to hear from you too. Call 323-1113. Or text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. And now, here's more Total Health.
Hi, and welcome back to Total Health. My name is Rose Trina, and in the studio today, we have Elena Tanova, nurse practitioner, and Dr. Anna Ursalis. Today's topic is HIV and AIDS.
Yeah, I was so, blown away to know that even HIV can become resistant.
Correct.
What I know, from microbiology is that there are two types of HIV.
Correct.
And it's
not creatively named, but it's HIV 1 and HIV 2.
HIV 2. And I know there are lentiviruses and there are RNA viruses.
Correct.
COVID is also RNA virus.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so is there more resistance towards one or the other, or is one better than the other?
Right. HIV 1 is the most prevalent virus and is actually a lot more serious, I guess, if you want to say, compared to HIV 2. So HIV 2 has a milder disease and seen mostly in Africa. So the majority of cases that you'll see is from HIV 1.
So it's the serious type.
Correct.
So every time somebody is diagnosed with HIV, it's a serious thing. We have to address it seriously.
Right, definitely, because of, the possible sequela of the infection.
So how soon somebody can start treatment?
You can start right away at diagnosis, which is why it's important that, again, you get checked early. The medications are safe to take. I haven't had any patients really complain of much side effects, things like that. So, yeah.
Can a family doctor prescribe it?
Yes.
Or can it be prescribed only from a specialist?
No, I mean, family physicians or your primary care physicians, if they are comfortable, they are able to prescribe it.
I see. And how often do they have to check, their CD4 levels?
So routinely, if it's well controlled, you can go anywhere from 6 months to once a year. But in the beginning, we like to see them every 3 months. If there are issues with compliance, then I see them once a month for, the first 6 months or so until they're back to a good regimen.
Right. And if they know that they have HIV, what are the ethical considerations? Do they have to inform their sexual partners? I know you don't have to inform your job.
Correct.
About it.
Yes, you do need to inform your sexual partners. If you don't want to, there are programs that will help you. For instance, the public health can give a call and be like, you may have been exposed to HIV and so go get tested, things like that. So they can certainly support you when you try to disclose your disease.
As we are talking about those things, I don't want to unnecessarily, panic anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But on the other hand, we live in Guam, sexually transmitted disease is quite prevalent.
Mm-hmm.
When you compare the other sexually transmitted diseases with United States,
mm-hmm.
some of them we're ranking even higher than
right.
that.
Right.
And so if you are going through something like that, or it happened that you have more frequently any type of sexually transmitted diseases, I'm not encouraging, but if it happens that you have multiple partners, you're a good candidate to test yourself for HIV.
Correct. And not just that, you're a good candidate for what we call the pre-exposure prophylactic medications. As I mentioned, it decreases your chances of getting the disease by like 99%, close to 100%. So, you know, talk to physicians if you are in that position where you are at higher risk compared to another individual.
Right. And I think everybody needs to be honest with themselves,
yes.
You know, if they consider themselves as high risky, you know. I have many patients that say, no, I have a lot of partners. I'm not going to give up on this lifestyle, especially younger mm-hmm. generation. You know, I'm not putting any labels or, mm-hmm. you know, generalizing. If you're that category, it is worth to talk to your doctor, you know, to
Correct.
Start, you know, preventive measures instead of like later mm-hmm. on having to mm-hmm. really treat you, bring you often, have you on medications for life.
Correct.
Do they have the medications for life?
Yes. At this point, unfortunately, we do not have a cure yet. So until that time comes, then the patients will remain on this for life.
You know, I have hope for HIV because mm-hmm. I'm hearing all the time new breakthroughs mm-hmm. and there are more and more promising,
correct.
Treatment. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure you're more aware of that. In 2022, the gene therapy started mm-hmm. and there were so mm-hmm. many companies that were offering different genes in which they actually can stop the replication of the virus
mm-hmm.
and
mm-hmm.
can get into the cell before the virus
right.
gets into the cell to replicate, which is amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And there are companies that they claim they found a cure.
Right.
And it's a question of time, I believe, you know, very soon to really have it.
Right. And, you know, interestingly, there are maybe just about 3 cases of confirmed HIV cure. But the circumstances at which that happened were very, very extreme. I mean, these were these 3 individuals had a type of blood cancer and needed to have basically their entire immune system wiped out. So they had stem cell transplants and they specifically chose cells that had a particular receptor that was defective so that the HIV couldn't enter the cell. And so they've been monitoring these patients and so far they've been HIV free. But, you know, that's not a recommended, you know, treatment for every person
and
who's living with
HIV. It's pretty expensive.
It's expensive. Not only that, I mean, you run the risk of dying. I mean, you, without an immune system, really, you're at the mercy of any infection out there. So,
yeah, I don't know if you can have that stem cells transplant at the same time with antiviral medications. But it is challenging to treat mm-hmm. those patients. And what I find the challenge is, like, on one side, you want to boost their immune system. On the other side, you can't boost their immune system too much.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
it is really, really difficult to treat. And, you know, with
right.
all the infection, you want to boost the immune system that they will fight all those secondary opportunistic infections.
Right.
On the other side, if you boost the immune system too much, the viral load
yes.
Increases.
So, yeah, there is a condition called IRIS, which is immune reconstitution inflammatory syndrome. Basically, you know, these are patients, like, let's say, in the AIDS category. And once you start them on the medication, their immune system wake up right away and be like, you know what, we need to go fight these other infections. And so they go through these you know, pretty severe inflammatory response that may make them a lot sicker you know, in the first few weeks. And so you actually have to kind of put the right timing on when to restart these medications.
Oh, that's very interesting. You know, it's not very simple how to treat somebody with mm-hmm. HIV, even though we have a breakthrough, we have great antiviral medications. You know, many of my patients, they would like to have all type of supplements, mm-hmm. you know, to help their immune system, mm-hmm. and, you know, like zinc and selenium and mm-hmm. vitamin D and L-carnitine and just name them. But then once they start taking them, mm-hmm. it boosts their immune system mm-hmm. higher, and sometimes it has the opposite effect. Mm-hmm. So it's not very easy to recommend to somebody with HIV just to take anything that's on the market.
Right, right. I mean, you know, and some of them may react with the medications that they're on, so it's important to really do a thorough drug checker, you know, to make sure that it complements each other and you know, don't have that drug interaction that will cause the decreased efficacy of the meds.
You know, there are a few things that claim that can help from the nature, that can mm-hmm. help the viral load. And the one that is the most mentioned, I don't know what your opinion about it, is the black cumin or, you know, the black seeds from Africa, the black seed oil. And it's quite a lot spread. And I read quite a lot of articles. Mm-hmm. And that's like showing it's quite of a promising thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I haven't really looked into that quite well. That is intriguing, so it's worth, you know, probably like, you know, mentioning and studying. But at this point, the ones that really have been shown to have the best chance of managing the disease are the medications that we mentioned.
Right, right. We certainly don't push, you know, the natural remedies when it comes to something so serious. But in Africa, when they didn't have availabilities mm-hmm. of those medications, this is how they have treated mm-hmm. themselves with natural mm-hmm. things. And some of them, they didn't find detectable loads, many years. So you take it for life. There mm-hmm. is no way that you're going to stop it at some point. And
correct.
So you always have to suppress it.
Correct.
Okay, yeah. So even if one virus remains, it can continue.
Right. I mean, you know, they replicate pretty well. And so, just getting off it. And not only that, but then they become quite resistant, like we mentioned. You know, if you take your meds sporadically and the virus develops some sort of mechanism to bypass these drugs, so...
So even viruses are smart. Bacteria, mm-hmm. I know they're very smart, but mm-hmm. I think viruses can become even smarter.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they have like incredible yeah. way of using.
Yeah, and they mutate just frequently. I mean, like it's in such a rapid way. I mean, you looked at COVID and how many variants we've had in, you know, just weeks of each other.
Are there any people that have such a genetic material that they cannot be treated, that they cannot be cured from HIV?
Not that I am aware of. Like I mentioned, there was that one gene that will keep somebody from from tolerating the one medication. There are patients who are called long-term non-progressors, which is, for some reason, their bodies are able to suppress that viral load, and, you know, they may not be on treatment, which we don't necessarily recommend. But, you know, some people, if they really don't want to start medications, but if they are in this category, it may be okay. But I have not, to my knowledge, heard of those who cannot be treated with the disease.
So interesting, yeah. Non-progressors. Mm-hmm. Are the patients that are progressors?
Well, more susceptible, yes.
But that, is there anything that makes you more susceptible, like genetically or ethnically, or as long as you're a human, you're susceptible to it?
Right, as long as that. And certainly other risk factors, you know, the lifestyle. You know, patients with concurrent, like sexually transmitted diseases, also have that higher chance of having severe disease or also co-infection with HIV, which is why, you know, patients that we've had, you know, syphilis or chlamydia, all that stuff, we need to check for HIV as well.
Yeah, and that makes it more difficult, mm-hmm. you know, when you have to treat several infections mm-hmm. at the same time. Sometimes, I don't know, mm-hmm. maybe up to 50. All right. That does become even more interesting. We will continue.
Total Health Live will be right back after this short break. If you have a question and you want to call it in, go ahead and give us a call at 671-472-1111. That's 671-472-1111 on Guam. In the CNMI, call us at 670-323-1113. That's 670-323-1113. In the CNMI, you can also send us a text or a message via WhatsApp at 671-686-9999. That's 671-686-9999. It's free from the CNMI. Again, Total Health Live will be right back after this short break.
If you see an emergency vehicle, pull to the right. If you are passing someone, pass on the left. Sometimes you can turn right on red. Other times you can't. You have rules at work too. It might be mandatory lunch, specified break times, a policy on sick leave. There may be rules for personal phone calls, and you might even need to navigate the strange waters of office politics. Kids have rules to follow, and sometimes you'll need to remind them more than once. And once you understand that there are rules to follow everywhere you go, it's easy to understand that God has rules that should be followed too. When those rules are followed, things just seem to go better. God knows they will. Breaking rules often leads to corrective action, but with God, it can also lead to forgiveness as you agree to walk fresh steps with a good God. Walk on. Joy FM, family-friendly radio.
And we're back with more Total Health. Give us a call with your medical questions. Number to call in Guam is 472-1111. If you're in the CNMI, the number to call is 323-1113. Or you can text or WhatsApp us at 686-9999. Now back to the program.
Hi and welcome back to Total Health Live. We've only got a few minutes left of today's show, so we'll just jump right back in.
Yeah, we are talking about HIV and AIDS, and I'm learning myself a lot, and I'm hoping to be able to help more of my patients. If you have any questions, we have an expert in the radio. If you're concerned about something, please give us a call. If you don't feel comfortable talking on the radio, you can just leave a message. Or you can call us after the radio if you continue having some questions. We have experts that can answer them. So we were talking about HIV. We were talking about progressors, non-progressors. Our show is not going to be complete unless we talk a little bit more about the cultural acceptance, about the counseling, the services that we have available in Guam. We want you to feel supported, no matter what crisis you're going through in your life. We want you to feel that there is help available, that people are working, scientists are working, laboratories are working to provide the best treatment, testing, medications. You are not alone mm-hmm. with this serious virus. And so, Anna, tell us, what services do we have? Do we have some counseling places that people can go to? They're going through a lot of, turmoil mentally as well.
Right. We have some really good programs in our public health department. There are two, Ryan White and ADAP, that help with access to these medications. They also have really good caseworkers that can assist in, whatever activities of daily living that they need help with. I just also found out about Guahan Project, which is an organization that also helps to ensure a safe way to check or to test yourself and provide just a safe environment for you to be able to talk and talk about your disease. Yeah.
Right. And, you know, people are going through a lot once mm-hmm. they know they're diagnosed with mm-hmm. HIV. You know, all type of scenarios come into mm-hmm. their mind. I remember I was going for my shift in ICU and they called me and they said, you know, the patient you're taking care of is a guy that just mm-hmm. learned that he got contracted HIV.
Mm-hmm.
And he couldn't sustain that thought and he jumped from the third floor and he broke every single bone of his body, you know, and there is treatment for that. And unfortunately, he passed away and there was nothing we could do, you know, to save him. And I wish I could have been able to explain to him that, hey, this is not incurable. This is not the end of the world.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can live still an abundant life and, you know, enjoy your life to the fullest, still being the full version of who God has created you to be.
Right.
And it is very painful because we still have quite a lot of ostracism against it.
Correct. And a lot of, you know, that we talk about co-infections, mental health is another really big problem. I had some patients that just couldn't deal with the guilt that they have. And then they also feel like it's a punishment from God for whatever lifestyle that they chose. But, you know, really, there, like you said, there is hope and forgiveness and a chance to cope with the disease. And there are resources out there that we can plug them into to be able to thrive despite this disease.
I'm so glad we're talking about that. I hope if we can lift up the burden of somebody, our radio show today was not in vain.
Right.
And we do not want the disease to cause additional burden on you or additional suffering.
Correct.
We have treatments available. You're not the only one.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you're joining millions of people.
Mm-hmm.
And while the disease used to claim a lot of lives, mm-hmm. nowadays we can rescue mm-hmm. a lot of lives mm-hmm. and you can live your life even, you know, more abundantly than
Correct.
Before, you
right.
know, knowing that, you know, you kind of have another chance mm-hmm. to live. And people usually appreciate life more. They don't take it for granted and they really make the most of it.
Right, right. It's great. I don't know, but I think you were going to try to share a verse, but the one that comes to my mind, we always think about how God came to give us life so that we can live it more abundantly.
More abundantly, yeah. Right. God has given us a lot of great Bible verses in the Bible that can really sustain us mm-hmm. in difficult time. You know, for God, you know, it matters how you live your life, but God can restore any mm-hmm. situation. He says just to act justly and to love mercifully and to walk humbly with your God. This mm-hmm. is what God requires from us. He's not going to come and say, what was this and what was that and what's your ethnic mm-hmm. and what is this mm-hmm. and what did you do in your life? God can wipe anything that has come
right.
to your life. No one is perfect.
Right. And there is another line or verse in the Bible that says a bruised reed he will not break. And so if you're already at the end of your rope, God is not going to kick you down even more. You know, he is the master of like second chances and, you know, pulling us up when we're at our lowest. And he just wants us to live a good and happy life with him and with the people that he has placed us around with.
Yeah, and I will also, you know, back you up with another verse from Galatians 6:9-10 that says, let us not become weary in doing good as we have opportunity. Let us do good to all people.
Mm-hmm.
All people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are no prejudices here, no conditions, especially to those who belong to the family of believers.
Yes.
No, just to everyone,
right.
everyone that needs help. You know, it's God's project and mm-hmm. it should be our project as well.
Mm-hmm.
I think we got a caller and we got a question. Well, the question is coming. I'm gonna, Rosie, go ahead.
Okay, so Our caller is asking two questions, and the second one is a two-part question. So the first one is, what is the average life expectancy after diagnosis? And the second question is, after you've been diagnosed, should you change your diet? Should you become a vegetarian? And are there any foods that you really should avoid?
Oh, I love those questions. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. Anna, give us more light.
Right. So in terms of life expectancy, again, if you are compliant with your medications, you're pretty much, your lifespan will be the same as the average individual. On the other hand, if you reach stage 3 or the AIDS category, then your average lifespan is only about 3 more years for that scenario. Take your medications. For those, the top two causes of death now are heart disease and cancer. And so basically for those who have HIV but are compliant with their medications, those would be the same lifespan. Those are the main two diseases that could, potentially kill them. And that kind of feeds into the second question, which is lifestyle. You know, in order to even make your life a lot more abundant is to make sure that the immune system is working well, and eating, like you mentioned, a plant-based diet, sleep, at least 8 hours, water, sunlight, trust in God, temperance, and air. I think, that's what we call our acronym, New Start. These are all things that will certainly also help your body be able to deal with the disease.
Yeah, we want your body to be at its best shape, mm-hmm. because it's fighting a deadly virus.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do we do that? As you mentioned, we take care of our body. Plant-based diet is really ideal diet.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. God has given us to that. He has allowed eating meat during different times, but the plant-based diet in general is ideal.
Mm-hmm.
Would plants counteract the virus? Even though there are some plants that claim that, we still mm-hmm. advise you to take the antiviral medication.
Sure.
We're not going to tell you the vegetarian diet, even though we we promote the vegetarian diet. We can't tell you vegetarian diet is going to cure mm-hmm. HIV, but it's going to help your overall health mm-hmm. to be able, to
right.
suppress the virus.
Correct.
Thank you for these questions. Those are amazing questions.
Right.
I mean, I'm sure there are many people that would like to know more. Please feel free to ask us any question, even after the show. I just wanted to share with you a cultural unacceptance about HIV and an experience that I had in Ethiopia. It's interesting that HIV came from Africa, but the most ostracized, I believe, it is in Africa.
Mm-hmm.
Correct. And I remember the time that I was seeing a lot of patients in Ethiopia, and one lady came and she was like walking by, close to the clinic. She was trying to hide and at the same time come in, and I couldn't understand exactly what was happening. And the director of the clinic said, "Go away, you dirty woman."
Mm.
I said, "What do you mean, dirty woman?" He said, "She's a dirty woman. I don't want her in our clinic."
Mm.
And then I said, "Oh, I want to see that patient. I want to see what's dirty about her."
Mm-hmm.
And he was so upset. So when she came, she told me her story, that she was pregnant, and as she was delivering twins in the hospital, they transfused her blood because she was losing a lot of blood, and she contracted HIV. And when her husband understood that, he left her.
Mm.
And the whole village ostracized her.
Mm.
And so she had to raise her kids for 12 years. By herself. And how does she do that when nobody offers her a job?
Mm-hmm.
Just by herself, everybody thinks that she's dirty. And when that lady came and I gave her a big hug, she could not believe her eyes. She mm-hmm. fell down and she started kissing my feet.
Mm-hmm.
She told this was the first time that somebody showed love towards her.
Mm-hmm.
Let us not be like that. Let's keep on bringing awareness. HIV, patients with HIV are not less than anybody else. If not, they really live their life in a better way, knowing that they have another chance.
Right.
Thank you so much.
Be sure to check with your doctors before making any sudden life changes discussed today. Total Health is brought to you in partnership with Guam Seventh-day Adventist Clinic, where health is their mission. We look forward to seeing you next Wednesday. Thank you and Sijuas Maasi for listening to Total Health right here on Joy FM.